Dow AgroSciences, Kauai Digital Marketing, Kauai Nursery and Landscaping, the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce, and the County of Kauai. We are being broadcast live tonight on both KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, and KQNG Kong Radio. And I'd appreciate if everybody, if you have not already done so, put your phones on silent. And if we can keep the crowd noise down, that would be great as well. Tonight's format, we have flipped the coin earlier this evening to decide who will be going first. Each candidate will answer each question, so both candidates will have an opportunity to answer the same questions. The first candidate answering the question will alternate for each question that we go through, and each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer each question. We'll also have each candidate do a two-minute introduction or opening statement and then two-minute closing remarks. And all of the questions that we'll go through tonight are not known to the candidates. This is going to be the first time they hear them. I will be repeating the question for each of the candidates prior to them giving their response, so that way for our audience here and the audience on the radio and on television, we will have everybody will know where we're at. We do have two timekeepers. We have Nancy and Laurie sitting in the front row. They will be keeping myself and the candidates on track during the forum. After each question is asked, the timekeepers will start an a timer, which is this lighting system, and the candidates will know when their time is coming up. A green light will indicate that the time has started. A yellow light will indicate that there's 30 seconds remaining, and a red light will indicate that there's 15 seconds, and it will flash off and on to indicate that 2 minutes are up. Okay, without further ado, we've got a lot to go through this evening. Please welcome your candidates for a State House District Representative, District 14. We have Nadine Nakamura. And Fern Anuinui Rosensteel. Welcome. For the sake of our audience, the Hawaii State District 14 includes the area that stretches from Wailua House Lots through Kapa'a, Anahola, Kilauea, Princeville, and to Hanalei. The district includes a population of approximately 23,000 people. 78%, or about 18,000 people, are over the age of 18 and are eligible to vote. The incumbent, Derek Kawakami, he's not running for re-election, so that means we will have a new state representative for House District 14. So very, very important night tonight for you to hear their opinions. Going first tonight with introductions will be Nadine. So I'll be referring to Nadine and Fern as we go through the night's events. And I'll start with you, Nadine, if you can have your opening statement. You have 2 minutes.
Aloha. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself and why I'm running for this office. My family history is very similar to many Japanese Americans in Hawaii. My grandmother left Japan in the early 1920s and came over as a picture bride. My mother graduated from McKinley High School during the war, and she went to her graduation in a white dress wearing a gas mask. And my mother's guardian was interned for 4 years in New Mexico during the war, while my uncles and father-in-law served in the U.S. Army. My father-in-law, Henry Nakamura, moved to Kauai in the early 1960s to set up the first Social Security office on Kauai. For the past 27 years, I've been married to Galen Nakamura, a Kapa'a High School graduate who's an attorney in private practice. My daughter will be a junior at Boston University this fall, and my son will be a junior at Kapa'a High School. And his main project this summer is getting his driver's license. We are all members of All Saints Episcopal Church. For close to 20 years, I operated my planning consulting business, writing environmental assessments, planning studies, and doing strategic planning for many organizations. I served on the Kauai County Council for 3 years. In 2013, Mayor Carvalho asked me to be his managing director, and I served in this position until the end of last month. As a council member and as managing director, I learned how much we as a county rely on and partner with the state in many areas. I'm excited to run for state house seat to bring important resources to Kauai.
Perfect. Thank you. And Fern, can you please introduce yourself and make your opening statements? You have 2 minutes.
Aloha. My name is Fern Anuinui Rosensteel, and it's a real pleasure to be here with you all tonight and to have the opportunity to talk about important issues that matter to our community. I was born, raised, graduated, and work in District 14. I was actually the first graduating class of this middle school right here, and went on to graduate from Kapaa High School. After graduation, I immediately took up the opportunity to attend a university in Australia, where I obtained a Bachelor's of Science with triple majors in Marine Biology, Wildlife Management, and Environmental Sciences. After graduation, I was offered a wonderful graduate position with a GHD consulting group, which gave me the opportunity to work as an environmental scientist and consultant. Through a few years of work there, I gained incredible experiences, knowledge, and environmental science background, and I was contracted out to work for the Department of Transport and Main Roads, where I worked as the environmental officer for rural road projects for some time. It was a wonderful opportunity, a great career, and very fulfilling in a lot of ways, but it didn't fulfill the core purpose of why I had gone to school and what my purpose felt like. I always wanted to go away and get that education and bring it home to be able to better our community, our environment, and help better Kauai. So when I got the opportunity, I moved home in 2012 and started immediately volunteering and working on different issues in the community. I've been heavily involved in conservation, both terrestrial and marine conservation issues over the last few years. And I realized throughout that process that the people that we elect to politics in all different positions and the decisions that come out of those and the policies that are formed really affect our lives. And so it's inspired me to this position now where I'm running for the State House.
Thank you. We'll start with our questions, and our first question will be directed to Nadine. Do you support the removal of the current cap of the TAT in order to provide more funding to the counties? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, I do support the lifting of the cap, and I know that this is a very difficult issue that's been discussed with the state legislature for many, many years. And as a managing director, I was a strong advocate for the lifting of the cap. But also, we got very clear messages from all sectors of the legislature that this was going to be a very uphill challenge. And I would like to pursue the discussions. At one point, we were looking at, rather than $60 million in 1 year, can we make it incremental over time? I think that's one option to pursue. Another one is to look at whether we could target those funds on Kauai where the state and the county have some joint interests and very specific projects. And one project that might come to mind is the North Shore Shuttle, where if we could say maybe we could target some of the TAT funds for a very specific need. The east side traffic is another possibility. So I think that's the way I would like to look at it, to see, where we can bring those monies back to Kauai to be used in very specific projects that benefit both the county and the state. So it doesn't just go straight into the general fund, but for some projects that both sides will benefit.
Oahu but been given less. I think it's really important that the tourist industry pays its fair share and that that money goes to offsetting the impacts of heavy tourism in different areas. And I think it's really important that we work to remove the cap and address those obstacles that we come to as we do. We also need to look at closing the loopholes that allow people to change the name of their operation and exempt themselves from paying those taxes. Again, I think it's really important that we're getting the fair share and that the tourism industry is paying that fair share. And closing those loopholes and ending the cap is very important. Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll go right back to you, Fern, with the next question. In your district, the median income is just over $56,000 and the median home value about $525,000. Now, the question is, what would you do at the state level to encourage the development of an affordable housing for middle-income earners who are often priced out of the market? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I strongly understand that issue. I actually just purchased my first home last year, and it was something that I've been working many, many years for, and I feel that it's something that's drifted away from a lot of local families in not being able to feel confident that they'll get to that point. And I think it's one of the issues that really, really matters to our community, the interconnected society issues that we face because of the increased cost of living and the lack of affordable housing is real and really important. I'm relieved to see that certain projects have already started and are underway to try to produce affordable housing, and I would like to work on those current projects to help ensure that they really provide reasonable, affordable housing for families, and that we're able to make that a reality. I also feel that we need to be looking and helping to support counties in their efforts to control illegal vacation rentals and ensure that in areas where we aren't squeezed out further from the affordable areas that we still have, where families can still get places to live and rents continue to go up. And these things. So I think it needs a really broad approach where we address multiple issues, but absolutely working to provide more affordable housing and reduce the cost of living for local families is a top priority.
Thank you. Nadine, the same question. What would you do at the state level to encourage the development of affordable housing for the middle-income earners who are often priced out of the housing market?
Yes, and I think a big part of it is looking for land that is free or land that is subsidized because the cost of housing is so expensive to build. The other thing is at the state level, the low-income housing tax credits are used to provide funding to construct projects, and I think that's something that we need to do more of because these are very competitive throughout the state. So I think that's what we need to support and do and increase the amounts of tax credits. The rental housing revolving funds cover pre-development costs that developers pay up front for, and I think we need to do more of that, along with dwelling unit revolving funds that help with the cost of infrastructure, which is another expensive cost to doing development. Programs like Kauai Habitat for Humanity create opportunities for working families, and by putting in their sweat equity, families can afford moderate of homes and afford mortgages based on their income. And so I think, you know, there are a range of solutions, and I think, again, we need to work between the state and the county to bring resources together, work with the private sector where possible to identify sources, lands that might be available, and encourage housing on all ends of the continuum.
Thank you. We'll go back to you, Nadine, with our next question, which has to do with the homeless crisis. What is your solution to help end Hawaii's homeless crisis? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. You know, we're hearing and seeing homelessness all around this island, not just in District 14. And I'm encouraged by the work that's being done at the state level, to put resources, to set aside resources for for down payments and for first month mortgages, rental fees for homeless families, and that's being made available through the Kauai United Way. We also, for the first time, the state is doing a coordinated needs assessment, and I think we need to do more of this, where you bring all the social service providers, the government agencies together to look at the individual and create a statewide database being put in place so that that individual can be looked at in terms of, you know, whether the person's a veteran and services that might be available, if there are substance abuse issues, mental health issues. We know all of these are connected to homelessness. And so for the first time, that needs assessment is taking place, and we need to pursue that. It's getting off the ground on Kauai. And another area is to look at the process that's going on right now is doubling the number of homeless beds at the KEO homeless shelter. I think we need to be doing more of that, as well as looking at other options. City and County of Honolulu has put together a container home city. Others have tent cities on the mainland. These are all options that we should be looking at.
Thank you. Fern, the same question for you. What is your solution to help end Hawaii's homeless crisis? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I really connect with this issue. Lately, I've had a lot of people writing to me, students from Kapaa High School that wrote a bunch of letters about how homelessness has affected their lives. And it's incredibly touching. And we do have a serious issue. And I believe that if anywhere can address this issue, it is Hawaii, where we have this welcoming aloha spirit and the dedication to take care of each other. And I believe that we can come up with real solutions. I strongly support Housing First solutions. I love the idea of some of the other programs happening in other states where they're bringing in tiny home villages and they're coming up with solutions that provide housing first solutions. And these solutions allow people to become stable and have a base to work from so that they can address the other issues that they might need and get the services that they might need, be it medical or mental health or other issues that they might have. I also understand that we have an interconnected society issues here that it's not just homelessness isolated on its own, and addressing these one issues are never going to solve the interconnected nature of the drug abuse issues and addiction that we face, the cost of living issues that are also interconnected with homelessness. And we need a comprehensive approach to the society issues that have gotten us to this position. In saying that, I'm encouraged by the $12 million that has gone into this effort from the last legislative session, and I believe that we can build on that and really help to create real solutions.
Thank you. Fern, we're going to go right back to you, and your next question is, would you promote the return to agriculture for Kauai and the state? If so, how? If not, why? You have 2 minutes.
Sorry, you said the return of agriculture?
Return to agriculture for Kauai and the state. So become a more agriculturally based society.
Absolutely. I actually really strongly support and have a vibrant vision of an agricultural industry in Hawaii that produces massive amounts of food, exports food, and provides quality, permanent jobs for our people. I think agriculture is incredibly important to Hawaii, and the fact that we have gotten to the point where we produce so little of our own food and we import 90% of our food is not only a security issue, but a serious economic issue. And it's also something that's resulting in the loss of important agricultural lands. I am a very big advocate for agriculture, and particularly for food production agriculture. And I believe that together we can actually create a real system, returning to old knowledge that we have from the culture, the cultures that came before us that gave us a foundation for sustainable agriculture, and also working with modern technologies. I believe that together we can come up with real solutions that employ a lot of people, and in the process of restoring agriculture and producing a booming food production industry, I believe we can also create a lot of jobs and build our economy.
Thank you. Nadine, the same question. Would you promote a return to agriculture for Kauai and the state? If so, how? If not, why?
I think promoting agriculture is part of the whole diversification of Kauai's economy. And so, yes, I support diversifying Kauai's economy by promoting agriculture. As Fern said earlier, when we're, you know, importing 85 to 90% of the food that we eat, we can do better. And some of the ways that we can support farmers is by improving our agriculture infrastructure, by helping to repair and maintain old agriculture irrigation systems that provide water at a low cost to farmers. Another area that I've been a proponent of is the Kauai Community College Food Production and Education Center. This is a, when I was on the county council, we provided funding to do a feasibility study that will be able to teach students and existing farmers about how to grow food on the farm, use USDA standard equipment to clean that food, use commercial kitchens to then produce value-added products, then use bottling and labeling equipment to be able to sell it locally and to the worldwide market. I believe this will help to create higher paying jobs and entrepreneurial opportunities for people on Kauai. So I'm excited about that project. But we also need to create and instill the interest in our children to become farmers. And to it's a lot of hard work working out there, and so I think that's another area that we need to promote our farm-to-school suppliers.
Thank you. Our next question is on transportation, and we'll go back to you, Nadine. How would you promote and expedite highway improvements for Kuhio Highway, specifically from Wailua to Kealia?
Okay. Well, I think there are several projects that are being pursued by the State Department of Transportation that we need to make sure happen and happen in a timely manner. First one is adding a southbound lane between Wailua Bridge and the southern terminus of the Kapa'a Bypass Road fronting Coco Palms Hotel. That one southbound lane is expected to be to actually begin construction in 2018. There have been many delays to that project, and that's something we should be tracking very closely. Another one is to add a northbound lane on Kapa'a Bypass Road, past the roundabout and all the way to Kuhio Highway. We need to add that lane to help relieve traffic. And I also believe that we have the opportunity to create to use the emergency Wailua Bypass Road to be a permanent southbound lane, and that's something that I would like to pursue discussions with. I think we should take a very close look at how ContraFlow is working, the hours of operation. Should the cones be up longer during the day? Should we add cones on Sundays? There's a lot of traffic during the afternoons. So start, you know, backing up on the bypass road. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to improve traffic in this area. I think we can't do it without really looking at our transit system. We cannot build our way out of this solution. We have to look at how we can improve our shuttle systems on the east side and on the north shore to coordinate with the existing transit system. And there's a lot of visitors who could get off the road, I think, if we could make it convenient for them.
Thank you. Fern, the same question. What would you do? How would you promote and expedite highway improvements for Kuhio Highway, specifically from Wailua to Kealia?
As Nadine said, there's some projects underway right now that'll create solutions for some of those really congested areas. The bypass to the Wailua Bridge, adding that lane, that southbound lane, and the bypass. Holding those things to the deadlines and to the budgets are really important. I also really like the concept of looking at the cane roads and the existing alternative routes that we have on island and ensuring that we can find ways to solve the the congestion issues, but ensure that we retain our country landscape and feel of our community, and ensure that we don't overdevelop our roads. I think it's important that we do so with a lot of foresight, and I think that there's great opportunities with existing routes to open them even to local traffic. I also love what Nadine mentioned about supporting alternative transport for tourism. I think it's really important, and I think we could come up with really comprehensive solutions that works well for people that come to visit us, with being able to get to and from high-density tourism areas, and to be able to get off the roads and provide that relief as well. It's a really, really important issue for our district, actually both ends of our district, both the Hanalei to Haena stretch and the Wailua stretch have congestion issues that are somewhat different, but both need to be addressed. And really working with the Department of Transport to hold to those budgets, to those time frames, and ensuring that the projects move ahead would be a top priority for me, absolutely.
Thank you. Our next question has to do with education. We'll go back to you, Fern. In its last session, the legislature appropriated $100 million to air condition 1,000 classrooms across Hawaii. How would you ensure that there is air conditioning in every classroom? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I think it's really important that our children are comfortable and able to learn in environments where they're comfortable. I feel like that money should be applied to, I don't know the details of exactly how it's going to be applied in which areas, but I would hope that that money would be able to solve a big chunk of the problem across the state. I would want to look at opportunities to possibly do other cooling processes, other maybe not as costly things in some areas, and really target the schools that are known to have incredibly hot conditions that need it first. Education across the board needs support, and I understand that it takes the largest chunk of our budget, but it really requires even more funding and really out-of-the-box solutions for how we can improve education across the board, not just with air conditioning. Thank you.
Thank you. Nadine, the same question. In its last session, the legislature appropriated $100 million to air condition 1,000 classrooms across Hawaii. How would you ensure that there is air conditioning in every classroom? You have 2 minutes.
Well, I think that what we need to do is to make sure that our teachers have the best facilities, the best resources to educate our children. And I think air conditioning is important in so many communities where children are sitting in rooms with 80 and 90 degrees. And I think what we need to do, I think the legislature took a very good, bold, and the governor did a bold step with setting aside these funds. And I think now it's a part of implementation and making sure that the classrooms on Kauai receive part of those funds to make sure that there are many of these schools have outdated electrical systems, which have now boosted the cost of the projects. And so there's, again, this is to me part of just making sure that our kids are able to learn in an environment that's conducive to learning, that they have the resources and the a comfortable learning environment. So this is something that I think at this point it's tracking it and making sure that resources are brought to Kauai.
Thank you. Our next question is on healthcare, and we'll go back to you, Nadine. How will you support the state hospitals on Kauai, KVMH, and Mahilona? You have 2 minutes.
Well, our state hospitals, the Hawaii Health Systems Corporation, serves a very important function in this community, both KVMH and Mahilona. And I'm pleased that they are broadening some of the services that they are offering to the community. We, as a resident on the east side, we often go to and use the emergency room at Mahilona. It is the best waiting time because you can be seen within 5 or 10 minutes of going in there. The services we've received have been excellent. And I think what we need to do is to recognize that there are the long-term needs, long-term healthcare component there. There's the ER component. There's outpatient services at all of these hospitals, both of these hospitals that we need to support. There are many workers in those hospitals that have healthcare-related jobs that are very decent-paying jobs. These are our middle-class families on this island. They are doing some important work to people who need this type of medical care, and I think it's important that we support these two facilities.
I believe that, you know, I have some concerns with the privatization that's happened on Maui and the changes that have happened. And I want to reach out to the stakeholders and the people involved in KVMH and Mahilona to understand what their concerns are and how they need support. But I absolutely support the state hospitals and also the workers. I think what we've seen happen on Maui and throughout this legislative session with the privatization of Maui hospitals has resulted in hard, long-standing government employees not being treated with the respect that they deserved. And so I think it's important that now we're realizing, you know, it's if we're going to be transitioning any of these hospitals, that we have to respect the agreements, the benefits, and the people that have worked very, very hard for the state for a long time, and also ensure that we are getting the services that we need. You know, when it comes to education and when it comes to medical services, these are top priorities in our state, and we need to ensure that our people are getting really quality services. So I'd want to reach out and find how they need support and in which ways they feel that we could better support them.
Thank you. Staying with you, Fern, we have a business question. Please describe your specific plans to diversify the economy and spur economic development on the island. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I specifically would like to look at ways that we can plug the holes in our economy where money is leaving the state and not cycling, creating really robust programs that are easy for tourists and locals to use that help shopping locally be more feasible, and supporting small businesses and supporting entrepreneurs and supporting efforts in the community that build our economy and small businesses, and sharing that funding and that economy growth within our community without letting it leave the state. I believe that we can really work together. You know, my family has a small business in Kapaa. I manage a small business, and I really value how many hardworking small family businesses we have, and I feel that we could work as a community to really support each other, and like I said, really plug those holes where things are leaving the state.
Thank you. Nadine, the same question. Please describe your specific plans to diversify the economy and spur economic development on the island. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. One of the Kauai Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy is a document that I helped to work on that identified 6 different areas to diversify our economy. Food and agriculture is one of them. Health and wellness is another area. Sports and recreation. Culture and the arts. Science and technology, and then sustainable technologies and practices. And I think we need to comprehensively look at opportunities within each of these areas. A couple of the projects, one that I mentioned earlier is the Kauai Community College Food Production and Education Center is a very viable project. The state legislature provided some funding for a component of this project, which will hopefully be used to leverage federal funds. And so I think this is going to be an exciting project for this island, and would like to see this one through. Another one is the Kauai Creative Technology Center, which is an opportunity to promote film editing, to promote cultural productions. When movie companies come over here to make movies, they can use this facility to edit their movies. It can be used as a Department of Education center, to resource center. And have high-paying jobs to support themselves and their families. So that is something that is very high on my list of priorities.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Nadine, and our next question has to do with parks and recreation. How would you improve our state parks and keep our beaches clean and safe? You have 2 minutes.
Okay. I think what we need to do is to make sure that we have really good master plans that will guide the development within our state parks. For the Hauena State Master Plan is being worked on now for many years, and hopefully it'll be finalized soon. But this is a community-based effort to look and figure out how do we manage this really special resource on this island. It's, you know, sometimes really special resources can get overrun, and I think we're at that point where we need to manage it, and so future generations can appreciate it the way we have in the past. So I think it's important that we work with communities that really have a stake in these areas, to have a clear direction. And for example, Hauena State Park, they would like to see a shuttle system in place. They would like to limit the parking for visitors there. They would like to have a system of a shuttle system that will take visitors through the North Shore without having to bring in their cars, and that would impact the rural landscape. It would impact the one-lane bridges that really, this is the character of the North Shore, and it's something that we should try to promote the wise use of our precious resources.
Thank you. Fern, we have the same question. How would you improve our state parks and keep our beaches clean and safe? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I love our state parks. Both Koke'e and Ke'e and Hauena are really special to me. And I've worked over the last 2 years with community in Hanalei and throughout the North Shore that are concerned about different aspects of the Hauena State Plan, and work to try to mitigate some of the concerns, to really find middle ground that ensures that we protect the cultural, the incredible cultural significance of these places, and also their environment. I think it's really important that we increase funding. We're underfunded across the board in a lot of ways, and figuring out ways to increase the funding is really pivotal in creating these kind of changes that we'd all like to see. Whether it's updating the trails or cleaning the park and ensuring that it's well maintained, all of these things rely on funding, and so that's an issue that I'd really want to tackle and figure out how we support the parks through funding. Both master plans have been underway for a long time, and really in supporting community involvement in that process, really supporting community voices being heard, and already they have. Already I've seen, changes in the Hauena plan from a year and a half ago when we were discussing it that have addressed some of the concerns with limits and caps for local families. And we really need to get it to where the local families and communities can use these places again, because they are so significant to our community. And a lot of people, especially, out to Hauena, they don't feel like they can even go to Ke'e anymore because it's so overrun. So we need to figure out a way that we can support the important tourism and balance those impacts. and engaging with community groups like Surfrider and others, I believe we can really create change that doesn't cost as much as well.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Fern. Our next question has to do with airports and harbors. Do you support the formation of an airport authority to oversee the statewide airport system? You have 2 minutes.
I would have to know more about that. I don't know a lot of the details on what that would or wouldn't provide. I support oversight of our ports in a lot of ways, and I've spoken with the Department of Agriculture office about my concerns with the biosecurity issues associated with our ports and airports, and ensuring that species aren't brought from island to island, and that we control what's happening at our ports. But I'd really need to understand more about the details on that before I could give an answer.
Thank you. The same question, Nadine. Do you support the formation of an airport authority to oversee the statewide airport system? You have 2 minutes.
I'm with Fern. I need to know more information about this one. Our airports and our harbors are important resources to this island. This is our point of entrance for our residents and visitors. We need to consistently invest in these resources if we want to continue to have a strong economy. So I think it's important that we have oversight. I'm not sure what the current problem is with respect to the oversight and whether there are voices saying that we need to have people specifically looking at these resources. So that's a conversation. I would like to hear both sides of the issue to better understand what the concerns are, what the costs are associated with it, and to make a decision based on good information.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Nadine, and we have a question regarding wages. Do you support the raising of the minimum wage to $15 per hour, as many municipalities are moving toward? You have 2 minutes.
Yes. I have been tracking what's being done in New York and in other states around the country that have instituted increase in wages. Hawaii's wages have gone, that we are on track to increase our wages. I believe we're at $8.50. It's going to go up to $9, then $10.10. $10.10 in 2018, I believe. So we are on a gradual track of increased wages. And I would want to have that conversation again about, you know, it seems like we're committed to, the legislature has made a commitment to 2018, where we'll be at $10.10. So what happens after that point? And I think we have some time to have that conversation. I believe that in other places that have adopted the $15 wage rate, they are also doing it gradually over a period of time. And in some places on the mainland, they treat rural areas very differently from urban areas. And I think these are really important considerations for small business. And I think what happens in downtown Honolulu is very different from what happens in Waimea, Kauai, and in Hanalei, Kauai. So I think we need to look at those. We need to be sensitive to the needs, but I'm definitely open to having that conversation.
Thank you. Fern, we have the same question for you. Do you support the raising of the minimum wage to $15 per hour, as many municipalities are moving toward? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, I do. I do support the $15 minimum wage, and I agree that it needs to be worked through gradually to ensure that we minimize any impacts to smaller business. But I absolutely, especially for Hawaii, I support a $15 minimum wage. I think one of the biggest issues that we face is cost of living. And as I've said previously, it's interconnected to many of the social issues that we face. And I think it's a top priority. We need to ensure that our people have livable wages. I've been inspired by the stuff happening on the federal level with Bernie Sanders' efforts to bring in the $15 minimum wage nationwide, and I absolutely support it, yes.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Fern. Our next question is related to the military. Would you support PMRF becoming an operational base, and if so, why?
I have strong concerns about some of the activities that may be happening, things like RIMPAC, war games, and different experiments and research that's happening here. I do have concerns about, I know the importance of our strong military, and I really would want to sit and understand the ins and outs of what is being planned. And I'm very analytical and scientific in my approaches to things like that. I really would need to sit down and have a really strong understanding of what exactly is going on. But I really feel that, you know, we have to be balancing both our security and our concerns for that with our environment and with our concerns that we have about certain things happening here. And I really need to understand more about the details of what's going on and what kind of expansion means for our people and for our environment. But I've recently been, you know, re-concerned about RIMPAC happening again recently and some of the stuff that's happening in our coastal waters. I feel that, you know, we should never refer to war as a game. And while a strong military is really important, and I support efforts to have that security, we need to be balanced in that, and we need to ensure that we're also protecting our environment and our islands.
Thank you. Nadine, we have the same question for you. Would you support PMRF becoming operational, and why?
I, too, would like to have more information about what that means. What does it mean to be operational? What will that create jobs? Will there be impacts to this community? Will we then be a direct target? I think there are a lot of questions. I'm open to having that discussion. We know that PMRF is a huge source of jobs on this island. We know that the testing that's done there has international implications, and that it's a very important resource to this nation and this world. And so I would like to understand what this means, but I'm open. And I think it's really important that the community be involved in that discussion, that it not just be a top-down decision, but something that that the community can be brought along so that we can understand what this will mean to this, not just the Waimea community, but the entire island needs to understand and be educated along the way about what the impacts will be.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Nadine, with a question on community planning. How will you maintain Kauai's rural character while continuing to accommodate our growing population? You have 2 minutes.
I think, you know, there are so many things about Kauai that are so important to us. Having access to our beaches, our trails, our oceans, we need to preserve these very important resources. This is what sort of frames our sense of rural character, our green belts, our sense of community. And I think at the state level, much of this is done through our conservation lands, making sure that they are open and accessible and that we control our invasive species. I think it's important that we, through the work of the Land Use Commission that looks at all of the large tracts of ag lands on this island and changes in designation, we need to really look at that because that also impacts our rural character. So I think there's a lot that the county does to protect rural character, and there's also a lot that the state does. And so I think, again, working together to make sure that Kauai grows in a way that preserves what's really special about it. And I think that's something that I will be looking at wearing my planner's hat. Thank you.
Thank you. Fern, the same question. How will you maintain Kauai's rural character while continuing to accommodate our growing population? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I really would like to see our rural character be the top priority of what we retain when we think forward about how we develop. I think it's really important that we don't overdevelop, that we have foresight in how we move forward. When it comes to traffic and transport, making the changes that we need immediately, but having foresight about alternative routes, about cane roads, about possibilities that will not result in massive overdeveloped areas that really do change the landscape and the feel of our community. I think it's, we have to be really cautious and mindful about zoning and changes to zoning as we move forward and ensure that what we do, again, we do with foresight and we're aware that we want to keep the control urban sprawl and we want to control overdevelopment in areas and preserve the areas that are open. And I think it's a lot of working with both the county and the state and the existing plans to ensure that we're following through with the plans that we have and again, having that foresight to know. What will happen if we do make these changes? And also looking at ways that we can ensure that people, you know, have access to these areas. I think you know, along with retaining our country and rural lifestyle that we all love, we need to ensure that we still have access to the places that matters the most to us. And so, you know, working with the community on, you know, what we do want and what we do need, but ensuring that we're not overdeveloping and ensuring that, you know, we're looking at the environment as a place that is, you know, our green spaces and our country rural lifestyle depends on. I think it's very important.
Thank you. Our next question is related to the budget. Between fiscal years 2014 and 2015, the total government spending in Hawaii increased by approximately $322 million from $11.8 billion in fiscal year 14 to an estimated $12.1 billion in fiscal year 15. How would you effectively manage the state's budget to control cost increases? Fern, you have 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I would have to sit down and really see all of the where everything's going, where the appropriations are, how everything's being spent, and really analyze in detail with a team that really knows what they're talking about and knows you know, the ins and outs of how this works, to really get an idea of where things could be reappropriated, where holes can be plugged in our budget, and ways that we can look to grow. I'm really understand that we need to build more funds and we need to bring in more revenue. And to do so, I'd like to think outside the box on ways that we can bring in funds and really support growing the pool that we have, because it seems like across the board we're often underfunded. You know, I know that this year medical marijuana dispensaries will start to bring in additional revenue to the state. I support legalizing recreational marijuana and utilizing those taxes to go back into our budget as well. And I'm open to those kind of alternative opportunities to bring in revenue that's worked really well in other places, including, you know, looking and investigating the pros and cons of a lotto system or a lottery system, and looking at ways that we can possibly tax, add taxes to things like offshore land purchases for people that are buying properties outside of the state, you know, adding ways that we can ensure that money is coming in, but that we're not increasing the funds by taxing through aggressive taxes local families that are already struggling to survive. But I know that, you know, we need to look at all those appropriations and plug holes, but we also really have to create new ways to bring in funding.
Thank you. Nadine, the same question. How would you effectively manage the state's budget to control cost increases? You have 2 minutes.
Yes. One of the things that we did with the county budget and why we were able to have structurally balanced budgets for the last 2 years is to really take a look at all of the costs of government. And we made some very hard decisions to ensure that the budget was balanced and that the revenues that we brought in is what we spent and not anything more. We were able to do that by taking a look at vacancies across the board. We created a vacancy review committee that looked at every single vacancy and made sure that we asked the hard questions. Do we need to fill this position? Could it be redesigned in a different way? Can we, if we got rid of it, how could this service could then be provided in a different way? And I think that's the kind of thinking that needs to happen at the state level, if it's not happening already. I also think that we need to have clear priorities as a state. Where do we want our resources to go toward? Are we willing to do less in some areas? Now, during the fiscal crisis, when the recession hit, choices were made to get rid of vector control positions. And now with Zika virus, with dengue fever, these are positions that we have to bring back on because we know as a community these are really important services. So I think those are the kinds of discussions we need to have as a community.
Thank you. That concludes the questions for our State House of Representatives District 14 candidates this evening. We're going to start with our closing statements, closing remarks, and Fern will go first. Fern, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. In closing, I would really like to thank everyone that's been involved in making this happen tonight, all the sponsors, the Chamber of Commerce, and everybody for being here tonight, listening on the air, and being involved in our community. I really thank Nadine for her years of service and her wonderful leadership in our community. You know, I will bring strong, transparent decision-making that is based in integrity, and I will do it with passion and a dedication to our community. If elected to serve our community, I will bring my strong environmental science background and my commitment to this district and to this island, to the state capitol, and I will work really, really hard for our people. I will work to address the traffic issues with foresight. I will work hard on the interconnected issues that affect our community, like drug addiction, homelessness, affordable housing, and the cost of living in this interconnected web of things that we really need to work on. I will strongly support education and our environment and culture. And I will do it with a dedication and passion to everyone and to hear and with a commitment to hear every voice and opinion. My door will always be open. My ears always open and ready for insight, advice, and your views and perspectives. And I strongly encourage you to check out my website at votefern.com or fernrosensteel.com. And contact me if there's ever anything that I can do, if there's anything I need to know, or if there's any way that I can serve our people. I would absolutely love to do so. So I really thank everyone again for being here, and it's just been a wonderful experience and opportunity to talk about these important issues with you all. Thank you very much.
Nadine, you have 2 minutes for your closing remarks.
First of all, I'd like to thank the Kauai Chamber of Commerce for hosting tonight's forum and for giving candidates like Fern and myself the opportunity to speak to a wider audience. So mahalo, Chamber. I'm excited about running for this House seat because I'd like to work to build a stronger and more vibrant Kauai and state of Hawaii. And it starts with having strong, supportive families that are healthy, thriving, and living a good quality of life. It starts with children who are engaged and challenged in their schools and have opportunities to learn and develop outside of school. It starts with maintaining the natural beauty and resources of this island and ensuring that future generations can enjoy all that we sometimes take for granted. It also starts with ensuring that our most vulnerable in society, our kupuna, our disabled, and our mentally challenged do not get left behind. As a former council member, I've had the opportunity to develop policies for this county. And as a former managing director, I've had the opportunity to implement some of these policies. I hope to use my background as a policymaker and as an administrator to help address important issues for District 14 in Kauai: traffic congestion, lack of affordable housing, the need for locally grown food and value-added products, educating our youth and adults, better managing state parks and our natural resources. So I respectfully ask for your vote. If elected, I pledge to listen to you, to actively seek solutions, and to continue working for a better Hawaii. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mahalo to both Nadine Nakamura and Fern Anuilui Rosensteel. Mahalo to everybody that listened in on the radio and for those of you that came this evening. Please remember to go and vote. Our primary election is on the 13th of August, and the general election will be on November the 8th. So thank you for coming this evening. Have a good night.